Sodanandana Braja Janadanjana. Yamnathira Panachari. Jai Radha Madhava Jabbihari. Jai Radha Madhava Jabbihari. Gopi jana valabha varadhari. Gopi jana valabha varadhari. Sodanandana Braja Janadanjana. Yamnathira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Jabbihari. Jai Radha Madhava Jabbihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prayavijagacharya Satara Sada Shri Srimad His Divine Gershala Bechara Bhakti Ranta Swami Shri Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prayavijagacharya Satara Sada Shri Srimad Divine Gershala Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Shri Shri Gonathai Ki. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadesh Ki. Shri Shri Jagannath Subhadra Balaram Ki. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. It's okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyanti Vinandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militan Yeno Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanmitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanmitamsta He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So once again, we'd like to welcome all of you to our Sunday program. We have a Sunday program in almost every temple around the world. As you just heard from Suhas Prabhu, every second there's a book being distributed in some part of the world. In some part of the world there's a Mangalarti going on. In some part of the world, somebody's agreeing, yes, let me try the chanting of the Hare Krishna as a means of happiness. So basically, the real purpose of this Krishna conscious movement is to explain to humanity how they can lead a happy life. And if you were to do a survey around the world and ask people, do you want happiness or misery? What would people say? Is there anyone who would say, I love misery? No. Everyone wants to be happy. But the whole question is, how can real happiness be found? Thousands of years ago, there was a sage called Prahlad Maharaj. He had the fortune of receiving spiritual enlightenment when he was in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad Maharaj made a statement 5,000 years ago, that people do not know how real happiness can be found. So Krishna consciousness is a path that can be practiced by people all over the world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. Today, the Krishna conscious movement has branches virtually in every corner of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on the planet about 520 years ago. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that in every town and village of the world, this holy name would be chanted. And you heard about the Prabhupada festival that's going to take place here next weekend. So we have these Prabhupada festivals more or less around the world. And Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee who appeared on the planet in 1896 to help realize Lord Chaitanya's prediction that a holy name would spread to every town and village of the world. And today we find that people all over the world are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, reading the Bhagavad Gita and leading a simple life with God in the center. The biggest problem in society today is that we are going away from the real teachings of the Supreme Lord and attempting to find happiness by material means. We are actually discovering that there's nothing but misery on this path. Just like people around the world today are concerned about global warming. What is global warming the result of? Global warming is the result of mankind's greed for more and more comforts, more and more facilities, and contradicting the needs of the nature. And as a result, the projections are really horrible for the whole world. I mean, I was just reading recently a report of a scientific conference that concluded in England, and they were saying that the effects of global warming are coming 100 years ahead of time. I mean, and they're predicting severe climatic changes, shortage of water, shortage of the grain production around the world going down, and so on. So the Vedic philosophy is simple living and high thinking. And if you lead a life of simple living and high thinking, then material nature will also cooperate and mankind can be happy. So this Krishna conscious movement is presenting the ancient Vedic philosophy. And this philosophy, as we said, is for entire humanity. Srila Prabhupada labored hard to establish Krishna consciousness in almost every corner of the world. And he also labored hard to translate the Vedic texts in the English language. Prabhupada translated nearly 90 texts, And the most famous, of course, is the Bhagavad Gita, which you see here. So this Bhagavad Gita has been translated in over 80 languages of the world, and people all over the world are reading these Vedic texts and finding that here's a solution to the problems we are searching for. And the Bhagavad Gita very systematically encourages us to take shelter of the Supreme Lord as a means of guidance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that we study the Bhagavad Gita daily. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a very simple formula which can be practiced by anyone. Sometimes people think that if I have to take the spiritual life, I have to give up my family, my job, or my standing in society. But actually, you don't have to. Krishna consciousness is a very practical philosophy that can be practiced in any condition. The Vedas divide the society into four varnas and ashramas. You have Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudras, the varnas, and then you have ashram, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. One may be celibate as a monk, or one could be in the household or ashram, living with wife and children. Now, regardless of which varna or ashram you are in, this Krishna consciousness can be practiced. It's a very simple formula. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it even more simple for us. The great sages have described Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the most merciful of all incarnations ever to appear. In the Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, Krishna explains, Yada idahi dharmasakadari bhavatir bharata. He appears from time to time in different incarnations. Why? To establish religion. Religion means the words of God. Dharmam ti sakshat bhagavat panitam. Religion is not something that you and I can fabricate and say, or we can come up with our own ideology and say this is religion. Religion means the words of God, and these words are found in many bona fide texts such as Gita, Quran, Bible, etc. And if we follow the words of God, then mankind can be happy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incarnation of the Lord, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been described as the most merciful of all incarnations because he gave us a very simple, sublime process that can be practiced in any part of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once on the tour of southern India. His tour of southern India is very nicely described in a book called Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when he was on his tour of southern India, he was chanting and dancing along with his associates, and they were able to convert, they were able to impress everyone to take to the process of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. There was a household of devotee there, in whose house Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed. His name was Kurma. The Kurma Brahman expressed his desire that I want to go traveling with you. Mahaprabhu did not think it appropriate for him to go traveling with him, especially since he was a family man. So Mahaprabhu said, stay where you are, but just do the following. And if you do the following, you will not be separated from me, and I will not be separated from you. And what were those basic instructions? One was to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The other was to study the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita daily. The third was to associate with devotees. The fourth was to worship the deities. And the fifth was to reside in a dham where the Lord has performed his pastimes, or to have the atmosphere in your home so auspicious that everyone can cultivate spiritual life. So these five guidelines actually are being practiced and can be practiced by anyone in any condition. One was to chant Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna is described in the scriptures as the Mahamantra. Mantra actually is a Sanskrit word that means a chant that can give you peace of mind. Now, if we were to do a survey of the people in society and ask them, are you peaceful? What do you think the response would be like? What do you all think? Are most people peaceful in society? The majority of them would say, no, no, no. If they were going to honestly speak, the problem is we would all like to think that I'm okay, just like it's a common practice around the world. You ask people, how are you? And what's the standard reply?
I'm fine.
I'm fine. You go and visit a sick man in a hospital. Ask him, how are you? Better. Doctor said 50% better. I'm getting there. I should be normal in a month or two. So everyone liked to think that he's okay. Everyone would like to think that he's fine. But the reality is that even if you have the best of facilities, even if you have unlimited money, etc., the reality is that everything is temporary. Am I right? Or are things different in Los Angeles? I imagine they're the same everywhere, isn't it? Everyone has to go through the sevenfold miseries of life. What are they? Birth. And birth, when a child comes out of the mother's womb, he always comes out crying. The Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely explains in the third canto how the child develops in the womb of the mother. Then there is disease, old age, death. Does anyone like old age? No. If any insurance company came up with a plan or a policy, pay this premium and avoid old age, I'm sure there'd be a sellout. Everyone would go for it. Nobody likes old age. And certainly nobody enjoys disease either. The only people who enjoy diseases are the doctors, probably. If you didn't get disease, they wouldn't make money. The pharmaceutical companies, and probably the hospitals. But by and large, nobody enjoys disease. And certainly, nobody likes death. If people ever had a choice, if they could avoid death, they would love to avoid it. There is a process to avoid death, and that is Krishna consciousness. If you take to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna guarantees at the end of this life you come back to Him. Coming back to Him means going back to our real abode, Vaikuntha planet, the abode of the Lord, where there is no misery, no birth, no death, no disease and old age. But you have to pay a price for it. That is, we have to lead a disciplined life so that we become eligible to go back to Godhead. So Krishna consciousness is actually, as Prabhupada used to say, a change of consciousness. It's not that you have to renounce your activities, as we said, but rather we have to change our consciousness. And the consciousness we have to have is that Krishna, God, is the supreme proprietor, and our real business is to engage in service to the Lord. Everyone has some skills. Everyone has some abilities. And these skills and abilities can be used to serve the Lord. And by this process, we get purified. Krishna consciousness is a process where you lead a purified life. And it's a very practical philosophy. If it wasn't practical, we won't see people joining and taking up to this process all over the world. The reason why people are taking to this Krishna consciousness is because it's a very practical philosophy that can be practiced in any part of the world. I have the opportunity to regularly travel in Africa, in Soviet Union, in the former Soviet Union, Europe, India, North America. And everywhere we see the same problems of life. And everywhere we see that when people take to Krishna consciousness, they begin to experience contentment, happiness, etc. So, and this is a process that doesn't even cost anything. Normally, even if you want to learn yoga, I heard the yoga industry is a booming industry, you have to pay, isn't it? But this is a process that you can try at any time. And if you don't like it, you can always give it up. But at least try. Trying doesn't cost anything. So, this Krishna conscious process is also a very ancient process. For example, our philosophy is based on the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita summarizes the vast Vedic philosophy. In the fourth chapter, Krishna gives a history of the Bhagavad Gita. He says that he imparted this knowledge in the beginning to the sun god Vivaswat. And then it came down to Manu, the father of mankind. And then it came to a king called King Ikshvaku. But Krishna says, in course of time, the science was lost. And he's explaining it again to Arjuna, because Arjuna was his friend and devotee. So over here we see that this knowledge is very, very old. 5,000 years ago, it was retold to Arjuna. But that was not the first time this knowledge was imparted. And if we want to take full advantage of this knowledge, we should receive this knowledge through the agency of a devotee. And if you're fortunate enough to receive this knowledge from an authentic source, then the knowledge is definitely going to help us achieve the goal of life. We need to understand what is the goal of life. We need to understand what is the special purpose of this rare human birth. Unfortunately, most people don't even know how rare this human birth is, and they're not even interested in understanding this philosophy. So, we have to educate people, just like even maturely, when a child is born in ignorance. But then, the child goes through an educational process, learns how to read and write, expand his knowledge, etc. So similarly, we are born in spiritual ignorance. And we need to be enlightened. But how are we going to get enlightened? There are two main sources. One is the book Bhagavad, the scriptures, and the other is the devotees, by associating with those who have an understanding of the goal of human life, we also get enlightened. That's one reason why Prabhupada introduced the Sunday program. Srila Prabhupada opened the first ISKCON temple in New York, and he introduced the Sunday feast program. In the initial programs, Prabhupada himself would do the cooking for the Sunday feast. And Prabhupada's purpose was to invite people who are normally engaged in doing jobs, businesses, etc. Let them come to the temple on Sunday, have a look at the deities. Of course, in those days, we didn't have such beautiful deities as you have here in Los Angeles at the moment. You devotees in Los Angeles are very fortunate in that here you have these very beautiful deities. Prabhupada spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, and some of you may have seen Prabhupada's museum on the first floor. And now you have these very beautiful deities that we can come, offer obeisances to, and by seeing them, get purified. So Prabhupada introduced the Sunday program so that people who are busy during the week in worldly affairs, businesses, etc., can come on Sundays, see the form of the Lord, hear the glorifications of the medium of kirtan, hear the lecture, have Krishna prasad, and thereby get reminded about what should be the real focus on life. So the real focus should be to achieve the real spiritual goal. It doesn't matter in which one or ashram you are, doesn't matter what your professional business is. The important thing is we should cultivate Krishna consciousness. And this is based on philosophy. And this philosophy is there in the Bhagavad Gita. So we would like to briefly, we have limited time, discuss one verse from the Bhagavad Gita. This is text 2 from the 9th chapter. It's a very famous verse. I'll just read the translation. Krishna explains, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitra Midam Uttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Su Sukham Kratam Avyayam. The translation is as follows. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So Krishna here is making many important points. First of all, Krishna explains in this verse that this knowledge is Raja Vidya. This knowledge is the king of education. So someone may say, how is this the king of education? I thought the education I get in Harvard or Oxford is actually the best of education. This is described as a king of education because this education really enables you to understand who you are. It enables you to understand how everything is coming from the Supreme Lord, and it enables you to understand what is actually our constitutional position. Material education only educates us to understand how we can exploit the resources created by God for the purpose of sense pleasure. Whereas spiritual education enables you to understand how you should use the various resources given by the Lord in service to the Lord. And in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has in great detail explained the difference between the body and the soul. Krishna explains how the soul is eternal, the body is perishable, how the soul is transmigrating from one body to another body. This is very important education. Prabhupada was once giving a lecture at a major university in America, and he opened his lecture with a question to the audience. He said, in this great university, is there any department that tells you what happens after death? And there was complete silence. So Bhagavad Gita explains how the soul is transmigrating from one body to another body. We can see, even in this lifetime, how our bodies are always changing. But we still, there's something in the body that remains constant, and that is the soul. So further in the 3rd and 5th chapters called Karma Yoga and Karma Yoga Action Krishna Consciousness, Krishna also educates us to understand the mentality that we should have when we work. And it is explained how human life without the principle of sacrifice is a waste. So Krishna says, this knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. So someone may say, how is it a secret? You people openly distribute Bhagavad Gita everywhere. And so when you use the word secret, you would expect it is some knowledge that only few people know. It's the most secret of all secrets in the sense that if you really want to understand the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, then we should approach a devotee of the Lord, someone in a disciplined succession, to get an understanding of the true meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. Just like since the appearance of the Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada, thousands of people all over the world have taken to this path because the real message has been presented. And this is the purest knowledge. You have relative knowledge and you have absolute knowledge. Relative knowledge comes from different sources, maybe educational institutions, maybe scientists, maybe government enacting legislation. But that's subject to defects, and it changes with the passage of time, it gets amended, etc. But absolute knowledge or absolute truth comes from the Supreme Lord, and it doesn't change with the passage of time. Just like we gave you a history of the Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge is not just 5,000 years old. It was spoken a lot before that. So this is the purest knowledge also because it is coming from the purest person. God, Krishna is described as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, you are the purest of all. So because this knowledge is coming from the purest person, this knowledge is also pure. And this process of devotional service, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam emphasize that devotional service to the Lord is a means by which we can purify our impure mind, intelligence, and senses. So this knowledge can be practiced by anyone. It's universal. It has stood the test of time. And anyone who practices this knowledge can purify himself. The process of devotional service is such that even the grossest of sinners can actually purify oneself. And this knowledge is Sanatana Dharma, eternal religion. This knowledge explains the eternal duty of the living entity. It gives direct perception of the self by realization. And it's the perfection of religion. What is the perfection of religion? The perfection of religion is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Often you hear people saying, my religion is better than your religion. And sometimes you also hear people saying, religions cause wars, so I don't want to take to any religion. Have you heard that before? So you often hear, my religion is better than your religion. But if we understood the real meaning and purpose of religion, then we would not make such a statement. The purpose of religion is to make you develop love of God. Just like a man is diseased. If you're diseased, or if you're in pain, your real anxiety is how to recover from the disease, am I right? Or if you're in pain, your real concern is how can you be relieved from the pain, is that right? Do you care what the background, ethical background of your doctor is? From which part of America or which part of the globe he is from? You don't. You have fire in the house. You call the fire brigade. You don't necessarily tell them, I want firemen from Orange County or this county or Los Angeles. You just firemen to come and put out the fire. Am I right? So, the perfection of religion or the real purpose of religion is to develop love for God. To do what the Lord wants us to do. And to give up our so-called attachment to activities against the laws of God. You can't be religious and do exactly the opposite of what the scriptures are saying. You can't say thou shalt not kill on the one hand and on the other hand have slaughterhouses everywhere. So the perfection of religion is to surrender to the Supreme Lord, as Krishna says in the 18th chapter, give up all varieties of religious and just surrender to me and I will protect you from all sinful reactions. And those who say that religion has caused so many wars, so why should I take any religion? I met someone the other day. He said religion is the cause of so many wars in history. So better I don't be religious. So religion is not the cause of wars, but the tragedy is that we don't understand the real meaning of religion, and we often use religion for different political goals or whatever, and then blame it on religion. If we were to follow the true teachings of the scriptures, then there would be no religious wars, and then people would understand, if they understood the real meaning of religion, then there would be harmony and peace in society. So, Krishna is saying, this Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is the perfection of religion because the Bhagavad Gita is inspiring us to lead a God-conscious life, to work for the pleasure of the Lord, and to use our mind, intelligence, and senses in service to the Lord. We have a mind, we have intelligence, we have senses. We can use them correctly, or we can use them incorrectly. Just like we're using a microphone to communicate to you. The microphone is being used to broadcast the message of the Lord right now. But the same microphone could be used for something else also. It could be used in a club also, for example. So, Krishna consciousness means you use various facilities given by the Lord in service to the Lord. And this is joyfully performed. Earlier we had asked you that if somebody was to ask how many of you are peaceful, most of the people would say they're not peaceful. And you can see that in spite of so much material opulence in society, in spite of so much technological advancement in society today, people today are far more miserable than ever before. The suicide rates around the world are going up. The mental depression is the fastest growing disease. More and more people are mentally depressed today. More and more people are committing suicide, attempting suicide, etc. So what is the root cause? The root cause is that we have unlimited ambitions, unlimited desires, and the whole capitalistic society is so formulated as to multiply your desires. I mean, you can't get these desires realized, then what do? You get mentally depressed. Go to see a psychiatrist. Take a sleeping pill to go to sleep. And nothing works, you get more depressed, then you think of committing suicide. And you end up committing suicide also. So, the solution is a spiritual solution. Just like a fish. If you take a fish out of water, even if you were to place the fish in a golden plate, the fish will not be able to survive. Am I right? Because the fish, by nature, is meant to live in water. You have a bird in a cage. You decorate the cage with ornaments and gold. When you don't feed the cage, the bird inside, is the bird going to survive? No. Someone gives you a nice house to live, all the nice facilities to live, but someone imposes a restriction, you can't eat. Will you accept it? No. So similarly, without spirituality, there cannot be happiness in society. Now very often when we talk about these points, people say, oh, there is a lot of spirituality today. I see a lot of religious programs on TVs. I see a lot of people, you know, so many TV shows and so on. But the reality is, if you analyze the various spiritual institutions, etc., and see what they're teaching, you will see that the essence of religion or is not being taught. People are teaching various philosophies, but the essence is to surrender to the Lord, to lead a disciplined life, to chant the name of the Lord. That is not being emphasized. So, Lord Chaitanya's program that we outlined earlier is a very practical program and can be practiced by anyone. As we said earlier, the first thing the Lord Chaitanya instructed us was to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, there are many mantras, but the Hare Krishna Mantra has been emphasized as the Maha Mantra, the principal chant for deliverance in this age of Kali. And by chanting this Maha Mantra, several advantages are realized. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the Sixth Shastaka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his followers to write volumes of books, but he left behind only 8 verses that are identified as the Sixth Shastaka. And in the first of these verses, Mahaprabhu explains, Chaitanya Brahmarjanam. One of the gains of chanting the holy name is that it cleanses the heart. You may say, oh, my heart is clean. What makes you think my heart is not clean? A heart is full of unlimited material desires manifested to the agencies of lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred, etc. And due to the presence of these desires, we are unable to really understand what is our rightful duty. Just like if you have cataract in the eyes, you can't see clearly. When you get diseased, you can't taste, you can't appreciate the taste of even the best cooked foodstuff or prasad. So, Chaita Dharma Marjanam, that's one advantage. Just like dust in a mirror can be cleaned with a clean cloth, this chanting cleanses the heart. Then, this chanting also gives you unlimited spiritual happiness, Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. Here, the Lord is saying in this verse that we read in the Bhagavad Gita that this process is joyfully performed. Or anyone who takes to this process experiences spiritual happiness or joy. So similarly, chanting takes away the element of fear. We are all living a life full of fear. There's a very nice bhajan composed by a Vaishnava poet. He says, Vaja hre mana shinanda nandana abhai charna ravindare. He says, my dear mind, you are so full of fear. Is that right? We are fearful of various things. We are fearful, what's going to happen the next minute to my job or my business? What's going to happen? Is someone going to come and attack me? I mean, you can never predict anything anywhere, especially in America. So there's a variety of fears. Even a powerful man is fearful. Rich man is fearful. So we live in a world of fear. But this chanting frees you from this fear. And this chanting makes you realize that you are the servant of the Lord. And the Lord promises in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he tells Arjuna, declare to the world, my devotee will never perish. This chanting takes away the element of fear. This chanting gives you contentment, satisfaction, happiness. And this chanting is a very simple prayer to the Lord. Please engage me in devotional service. Please protect me. There's a very nice dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy in a book called Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked his devotee Ramananda Roy many questions. One of them was, what is the chief worshipful object? And Ramananda Roy replied, the chief worshipful object is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a special benediction in this age. Thousands of years ago, there was a nice dialogue that took place between a king who was cursed to die and a sage called Shukadeva Goswami. So at one point in the dialogue, Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, was asked, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? Because Kali Yuga is an ocean, there's an ocean of vice. So Shukadeva Goswami replied, Kale dose nidhi rajan. Then in Kali Yuga, there's an ocean of vice, but there is one benediction in this age. That is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This chanting can be done by anyone. So the devotees, with folded hands, beg everyone to try this ancient process of chanting. This is called mantra yoga. And by chanting, you can experience the result, the gains yourself. It's just like when you've eaten, then you're the best judge to say, yes, now I'm satisfied. So this chanting is a process that can be done in any situation. If you earlier, someone mentioned that you're going to have a Kazakhstan band coming very soon. with Govinda Maharaj is going to bring his kirtan group. So I was just there 2 weeks ago, and we were having a program in a building where the ground floor there was a restaurant, and on the first floor the hall was rented to us, and we were having a kirtan program and lecture and so on. So over there in the restaurant, they had a band playing, people getting drunk, and then dancing. And in our Hare Krishna hall, we had hundreds of devotees taking part in kirtan and happy, blissful. So these people, so when the doors would open, we could hear their band playing because they're in the same bowling, and they could hear our kirtans. And so many of those people were coming to our hall to see, hey, what's happening? And they saw that our devotees were neither getting drunk or not holding hands and still happy. So they were just amazed. So that's a reality. If you chant the Hare Krishna mantra and read the philosophy, regularly associate, this is a happiness that you can experience, and it's all free. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to chant the holy name and also to read the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. Because especially the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita summarizes the vast Vedic literature. And it's a guide. It's a guide that tells us what to do and what not to do. Just like you buy an expensive product, along with that you get a manual that tells you what to do and what not to do, isn't it? So that we need to know the do's and don'ts. What should I do? What I should not do? And that answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. In 18 chapters, the Bhagavad Gita very systematically explains our real identity, leading on to what our work should be and what mentality we should work. We all have to work, but what's the mentality that we should work in? Who is the real enjoyer of our efforts? And Bhagavad Gita logically explains or also describes the position of the Supreme Lord, and it concludes with instruction. It doesn't matter where you are, what your background is, in which social or spiritual order you are, the important thing is to dedicate your life for the pleasure of the Lord and work under the direction of the Lord and His representatives. And by working under this direction, one is assured to be on the right path. So Lord Chaitanya wanted us to read, just like we read newspapers every day, you watch television news every day, you want to know what's happening all over the world. So similarly, we need to know what is the instruction of the Lord for us. Bhagavad Gita is for the entire humanity. And then we should look forward to spiritual association. As we said earlier, Prabhupada started the Sunday program himself so that we could get spiritual association. And spiritual association helps keep us on the right track. Every Sunday when you come, see the beautiful form of the deities, bow down to the deities, take part in the kirtan, which is the process of congregational chanting of the holy name, hear the philosophy, eat Krishna prasad. These activities will help purify your consciousness. And with purified consciousness, you can experience real happiness. So, this is a humble request to all of you. How many of you come to the Sunday program every Sunday at this temple? How many come every Sunday? And how many of you come at least once or twice a month? Okay. A good practice would be if all of you could make it a point to come every Sunday and bring your friends. Y'all are, as I said, y'all are really fortunate in that you have such a beautiful temple here, such beautiful deities which were installed by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was really proud of the Los Angeles temple. He had called it the world headquarters. So take advantage of this very nice facility and thereby purify your life. Hare Krishna. Any questions? We had limited time. 6 o'clock was the time. We went a little bit overboard. Any questions from anyone? No questions? Yes.
You had mentioned that the process is joyful. Krishna says the process is joyful. Then elsewhere in the Gita, Krishna talks about someone who falls down. He's still saintly, but he sometimes falls. So could you explain how it is that the process, if it's joyful, why do people sometimes leave Krishna's association?
Sometimes a patient is recovering from a disease and he prematurely stops to take the medicine. Then what happens? He gets a relapse, isn't it? Then the process is joyful, but in order for us to keep experiencing the joyful process, we have to stay on the right track. And Krishna has also said in the Bhagavad Gita, Devyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. This illusory energy of mind is very difficult to overcome. So even when you come to spiritual life, the illusory energy is still trying to bewilder us. If you're careful, you get saved and you're joyful. And if you flirt with the illusory energy, then we become a victim. But the devotional service is such a powerful experience that if you've done some service, that service stands to your eternal credit. It's the safest investment. Okay. Any other questions? So how many of you chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day? Okay. How many of you don't chant at all? I request that those who don't chant, they should start chanting. Those who are chanting, they can try to improve, they increase their chanting. Those who read the Gita every day, very good. Those who don't read, they should try to read and thereby work towards perfection. So thank you very much. I believe it's time for prasad now. With a pleasure. Okay. You saw it 6 o'clock.
Yes, Krishna.
How are you? Well, that's okay.
What's your name?
Maria.
Where are you from?
Originally from
Russia.
Sorry.
Are you the sound man?
Yeah, I'm the appointed microphone man.